located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsor's fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help. If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call Rocky Mountain Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs and high definition also available.
Well, American Network, and we are living in amazing times. In fact, I was just reading this morning the Federal Reserve System, our Federal Reserve System. Well, it's really not ours. It's a privately owned central bank created by bankers to enrich bankers and to impoverish and control the American people. But the Federal Reserve System has recently, within the last day or so, given about $250 billion to foreign central banks to try to keep them from collapsing. These are European central banks predominantly. So we're funding, our central bank is funding other central banks with trillions of dollars, but $250 billion, $240 billion to try to keep of the banks of Europe and England and even the Swiss banks from collapsing. Is Joel there?
Yes, I'm here, Dr. Stan. Sorry for being a little late.
Oh, well, you don't have to apologize. You've got a million things to do. We're just so glad to have you back here in the United States, and especially at this time in history when I think it's important for people to be right on top of what's really going on. So you picked the story up. I see. I was just commenting. I was reading this morning where apparently our central bank, the Federal Reserve System, our privately owned central bank, I stress, has come up with almost a quarter of a trillion dollars to send to other central banks to help them, to keep them from collapsing. Where's the money coming from? I mean, who has $250 billion just sitting around in a drawer?
Yeah, this is just pure money creation, Dr. Stan. The Treasury is desperately trying to forestall the inevitability of a wave of bank failures. They proposed legislation. Paulson appeared before Congress, basically telling the whole world's going to collapse unless you pass this within a week. This legislation proposes, get this, to buy off bank bad debts, which could cost taxpayers at least $500 billion. Now, that's another $500 billion, including what you're talking about, sending money to other central banks. Included in the bill is language to move troubled assets from the balance sheets of American private financial companies, these are money market and mutual funds, into a new institution, which would be a government-backed institution. I mean, Paulson is basically going to bail out anybody who has any bad debts. He says that he wants this bill passed immediately, and there's nobody in Congress protesting the fact that there's absolutely no constitutional authority to authorize this.
And, of course, the most amazing thing is that what's happening is many of the money market funds, people have been putting the money in the money market funds, expecting to get good interest rate and get their money back. Some of the money market funds are saying, hey, we can't even pay your money back, much less any interest.
Yeah, and so this thing is in free fall, it seems, but it's amazing, the markets are only responding now to bailout announcements. When they, this is what happened, which was very interesting this past week. Everything was precipitated by the fall of Lehman Brothers. It was apparent last week that Lehman Brothers was on the ropes financially. Everyone expected a bailout. It's like Chanakya of Asia Times said, the once mighty Lehman Brothers Holdings had a market capitalization of $47 billion last year. And now it was down, and it's down to, you know, $2.5 billion. How does a company drop from $47 billion? I mean, that's supposed to be market capitalization, real assets, and goes down to $2.5 billion. It means those assets were just plain illusory. They were only valued not according to real assets, but what the paper said they were. Now that the company's on the ropes, he said, it is likely that the mother of all bailouts is going to grow even larger. There will be probably an announcement made this weekend, he's speaking from Friday, about last weekend, that a private takeover layman will include some white knight, some sovereign wealth fund from another nation, or maybe even funds, he says, directly from the Federal Reserve or the U.S. Treasury. He says, for now, federal officials assert that they are merely helping to arrange a private sale. Does this sound reminiscent of the Goldman Sachs bailout around this time last year? He thinks they'll use the same mechanism. Well, they didn't. The bailout didn't come. Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson tried to send a signal limiting future bailouts of failing financial institutions by deliberately saying, we're not going to bail out Lehman. The result was on Monday that the markets crashed, going down almost 500 points. So he decided to reverse course and bail out AIG to the turn of, what, $85 billion. But as Paul Krugman says, the real shock came after the Feds failed to bail out Lehman Brothers. It wasn't the plunge of the Dow itself. It was the reaction of the credit markets. Basically, lenders went on strike. This is, in turn, of course, precipitated. This, in turn, precipitated the Treasury's move to provide billions of dollars for interbank lending, restoring temporary liquidity. So let me just put this into perspective. What it meant, though, was that when all of a sudden Lehman Brothers was going down, AIG, the big bond insurer, was going down, banks suddenly said, hey, we're going to stop interbank lending. This is overnight lending. It's just money flowing back and forth before banks when they get short because of more credit card outflows that come in more than they have reserves, and so they just do interbank swaps in order to cover themselves, and they pay it back the next day or the next day, and suddenly the bank said, hey, we can't depend on anybody paying any next, so we're going to stop lending. And so the Treasury had to come in with you know, a bailout of some $180 billion just to keep, just to restore temporary liquidity. And so this now is mushrooming. The Treasury went before the Congress this week, you know, saying we need another $500 billion essentially to move troubled assets off the balance sheets of banks. And they're even talking about money market funds and mutual funds. I mean, this is just a wholesale bailout of everyone who has bad debts. And essentially all debts are bad now, all paper debts that aren't based on actual collateral and physical plants and equipment somewhere in the real economy are worthless now.
But how can the Treasury come up with money to do all of these things when it's having to borrow several billion dollars every single day, a couple of billion dollars every single day from other central banks and other countries, you know, just to pay our debts? And here now they're talking.
Well, they're doing away with that process. This is not borrowed. They're not having to fund this through bonds and through. They're just writing. They're just creating the money on the books and giving it away. This is just absolutely pure inflation.
And pure inflation, and this is what's going to destroy the value of people's pensions and annuities and savings and. And their T-bills, and we'll be back in just a moment with Joel Salzman here in America.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Millions of women have been misdiagnosed and been given dangerous prescription drugs. In reality, they're simply suffering from hormone imbalance. Stress, environmental chemicals, poor nutrition, and age all can affect your hormones. Do you have hormone deficiency? Find out with our simple self-test that will help you determine if your hormones are suboptimal. Call Radiant Clinic at 970-278-0900 for your free test or visit our website at radiantclinickolorado.com.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, and people really need to understand that we are facing the worst financial meltdown since, well, going back, I think, to the time of the Great Depression. Nothing like this has happened, you know, during the last 50 or 60 years, and suddenly we are facing the point where they've just done away with all the rules. They're just creating money out of nothing. I mean, they've taken on AIG. They took on this insurance company and bought it, almost 80% of it. But when they bought that company, they took on their debts as well. And they have written trillions of dollars of derivatives. In other words, guarantees to banks and central banks and the financial institutions throughout the world, guaranteeing the bonds that they bought, most of which are increasingly becoming worthless. Now that means that suddenly our bank, our Federal Reserve System, has taken on the responsibility, or pardon me, our Treasury, for all those derivatives there that Warren Buffett described as financial mechanisms of financial weapons of mass destruction, currently latent but potentially lethal. Well, we've reached the lethal time, don't you think?
Well, it certainly could be, but we have to remember that we have to separate two separate economic systems that exist today. There's the real economy, money that's invested in plant and equipment and companies that are actually producing products, and then there's the speculative economy, which is just churning, just has money on hold in various markets that keep churning, trying to make a profit through buying and selling, never gets out into the actual real economy. What we are seeing here in this pure credit creation by the government to the tune of billions and billions and even trillions of dollars being created out of thin air, this isn't directly inflationary because the money's simply going back, filling in black holes within the speculative economy. In other words, they're filling up the pockets of all of these insider traders, millions of them, frankly, who have gone for higher returns through speculating and derivatives and hedge funds and bonds and mutual funds and all of these things. There's some legitimate people involved in here, too, but the biggest proportion of these people simply have excess funds far and above what they use in their daily affairs, and those funds have disappeared, and they're being refilled by credit creation, all of the bad debts being replaced by U.S. government creation of money. And that won't necessarily flow out of these speculative holdings. It's simply bailing out the big boys. And what's the problem, of course, is that all of these bailouts, even though you create money, these are replacing bonds which pay interest. And so even though the total bill eventually to the taxpayer, and of course they'll make sure it never gets to the taxpayer in terms of direct taxes, but the total bill as applied to the national debt will really only show up as the interest. They won't ever, and they don't ever intend to pay off the principal of any of this money that they're creating. But it does create interest that has to be paid, because when you replace those debt instruments that banks are holding, those debt instruments have interest that has to be paid out on them. And, of course, if the banks don't have the money to pay that interest on them, the Fed is going to be responsible to make sure that interest keeps flowing. So this is literally bankruptcy of a nation added upon bankruptcy. I mean, we've been bankrupt for years. We can't pay off the amount of debt that we've got outstanding. They know that, and now they're just simply adding to it, and there's no way to pay it off. It won't ever come, they can even print money to pay off the interest that's available. I mean, as one pundit said, the government has an unlimited supply of ammunition. It's just a matter of how soon the dollar self-destructs in this process of creating so many dollars. And as long as they stay within the black holes of these market funds, it won't go into hyperinflation. But once it starts to spill out, if at any time these big investors start taking their money out and actually buying real things with it, then it's going to be hyperinflationary.
Or if other countries throughout the world begin to dump dollars because they fear that it loses its value.
Yes, that's right. And we're already seeing that. I mean, these people realize that this is really bad, and we're seeing money searching for American assets any way they can buy them. I mean, they're coming into the economy buying real assets. And so I think it's only a matter of time before this becomes hyperinflationary. But it's important to understand right now that this money is going and filling in black holes within the speculative economy. These are bailing out the big boys. And it's totally illegal. There's no constitutional justification for this whatsoever. And nobody cares anymore. That's my whole major issue that I'm making in my World Affairs brief that comes out today, is that no one has any principles in Wall Street anymore. They just want to bail out. They just want to be saved. Save us. And this is so dangerous, Dr. Stan, because it means that this mentality of having no principles or caring nothing for what's lawful anymore, and means that this whole mentality will drive us into the New World Order when they bring a war upon us. And the American people just say, save us. Do whatever it takes. We don't give a darn about the Constitution or our civil rights. Just save us.
And of
course, that's what I'm afraid is indicative that we've lost our moral compass within the United States. This is very, very serious.
And, of course, the thing is that when you have a financial crisis and everybody's just obsessed with it, the thing is collapsing, you've got to get people's attention off of that. You need to create another threat. And war is always an option. Certainly our troops, apparently we have special forces troops attacking Pakistan, special forces troops attacking Iran, working within those countries. These are acts of war. And where's the outcry from the American people? We're sending missiles and drones into Pakistan, and supposedly to get the Taliban, who are being financed by the ISI, the intelligence agency of the Pakistan military that's being funded by our tax dollars. Somebody's got to finance the Taliban. Pakistan doesn't have the money to do it on their own, but don't worry, the American taxpayer's got a lot of money, or we can simply borrow it. I mean, I share your concern that some sort of military action over there is going to be a wonderful diversion to get the American people's attention off the economy, because we wouldn't want to blame the politicians, both political parties, especially with the election coming up. We've got to do something for a diversion.
Well, there's a lot of potential scenarios relative to Iran and Pakistan to the election. Right now, it's interesting that the momentum is going back and forth between McCain and Obama. McCain got a real leg up on the polls against Obama with the introduction of Sarah Palin into the campaign. He could also get a major boost over Obama. Now, Obama's recovering, essentially, according to polls. Now, these polls are fairly manipulated. They can, telephone people that they have predictable response from to show almost anything. It's definitely too close to call now, even though Barack Obama has, you know, 1 or 2 or up to 3, depending on the poll, percent lead over John McCain. In the actual, this is an aggregate lead, and it doesn't mean anything in terms of the real election, because you cannot, in fact, the way that we have our electoral college system, you can't just add all the votes together and see who has a 2 percentage point lead. As a matter of fact, it depends on the actual swing states in the electoral college that will determine who wins, just as in the very close election between John Kerry and George Bush. But like in states like Ohio and Pennsylvania, which they're in a dead heat, and Obama must absolutely win those states if he's going to win over John McCain in the electoral college. Now, all of that could be skewed directly by any U.S. military intervention around the world. That would accrue to the benefit of John McCain, who has been portrayed as the person having the most war experience, you know, and being a war hero, which is absolutely false. He's, you know, nothing of the kind. He collaborated with the enemy in Vietnam, and the U.S. is covering for that. He apparently made some 30-odd videotapes of, you know, anti-war propaganda for the North Vietnamese, and the U.S. essentially bought those tapes from them and with millions of dollars to keep them from being aired. And they're now sitting in archives of the CIA where they can't be aired. I mean, that shows that our own government protects these controlled candidates from the exposure that would normally accrue from these things. But going back to Pakistan, for example, Bob Baer, former intelligence man for the U.S., reported that almost no one noticed that we're on the brink of war with Pakistan, he says. On Tuesday, the Pakistan's military forces order its forces along the Afghan border to repulse any future American military incursions into Pakistan. Now, of course, a lot of that incursion occurs in the air, which they couldn't stop, but apparently they're putting the U.S. on notice. They're not going to allow any more troops of our troops to chase bad guys into Pakistan as a safe haven.
It's amazing that Pakistan can put their troops on the border to protect incursion, but we can't put anybody on our border to keep the Mexicans from coming in, the Mexican military from coming in.
Well, that's another form of hypocrisy, totally different, but I mean totally the same, but for the different motive. Anyway, Mike Mullen, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, flies out to Pakistan this week to try to ease these tensions. I think they'll twist arms and keep this from, there certainly won't be a war with Pakistan. The U.S. has too much money flowing in to control terrorism in Pakistan to let this get away from them. But the Iran war still is very much a real possibility before the election. And as I say, once that, if that occurs, if that attack on Iran occurs, we're going to see a McCain presidency for sure. Now, in this political environment, it's interesting how, and I want to reiterate to your listeners here, that the establishment went out of their way to put in Sarah Palin as McCain's running mate, essentially to convince conservatives that this was truly a conservative administration and to mask the distaste which conservatives had for John McCain, and it has worked like a charm. But Sarah Palin has been showing, you know, considerable lack of principles in a lot of things that she's done since being nominated for this position. She's become a virtual yes girl to the McCain campaign. She's briefed every day by a cadre of varsity-type Bush cheerleaders on how to handle all of these major issues. She's being put out in the forefront as the spokesman for the McCain-Palin campaign, and, you know, she's made a few mistakes. She really isn't that good in that area. And what's worse, though, is that she's showing that she is just allowing herself to be manipulated as a puppet. And conservatives don't understand that Sarah Palin will virtually have no influence in the McCain administration once they get elected. She'll be relegated to a little vice presidential office. She'll have a staff of probably less than a dozen people, which is a normal staff for a vice president with nothing to do. And they will put her on PR duty of championing the McCain program. Every time it gets unpopular, she'll be their cheerleader. This is completely in juxtaposition to Vice President Dick Cheney, who has a staff in multiple hundreds. Virtually, he's got his tentacles in every major department of government, and everything has to be vetted through the Cheney office. You will never see that kind of power to Sarah Palin. She's put in there specifically only to snooker conservatives into supporting this globalist McCain administration.
Well, I remember the Christians, because this is aimed at the evangelical Christians. That's why she's there, you know, conservative and Christians and pro-gun people. They'll all back her because, but it's all smoke and mirrors. It's rhetoric over reality. It means absolutely nothing that she's the vice president if the Republicans should win.
Well, you know, the Republicans, McCain campaign has taken control of this investigation in Alaska on her firing of her brother-in-law, or, you know, removing him from the state trooper force. And, you know, it just doesn't, you know, she campaigned in Alaska for government transparency and openness and no more business as usual, and yet the McCain campaign comes in and talks in her into having her staff refuse to cooperate with this investigation.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen right here. America.
Trusted with a tremendous responsibility to raise and educate our children. This school year, promise yourself you'll get more involved with your child's school. Join the PTO, volunteer for special events, or even try to help with homework. Let's show them that school is cool. That message brought to you by the great people at Clean Dirt Grain and Seeds at 6530 Road 28 and a half in Sterling. They're proud to be a sponsor of our Destination Education campaign and are on the air because they care. They wish you and your family a safe season.
This is Ann Johnson. For 14 years, I've owned Brightside Natural Health. The prophecies of Revelation are being fulfilled at an amazing rate, and the kingdom of God is at hand. My passion is to follow God's command to heal the sick and share the reality of Jesus Christ. God faithfully shows me effective, life-changing products like Vital PSP. PSP helps the body heal itself the way God intended. God promises to be present in the midst of your storm. Stop the storm and enjoy God's abundant health. Call me at 303-833-2784.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And before we go on, Joel, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your material, how they can subscribe to your publication.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief is my weekly news analysis service. There is a modest subscription for it, and people can find out more about the World Affairs Brief on my website, which is www.worldaffairsbrief.com. All written as one word, worldaffairsbrief.com. They can also get a free sample issue of the World Affairs Brief by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com, and I'll be happy to send one out to them. World Affairs Brief, my website, does have a lot of free information, too. We post through my research staff all the top stories each day, which, as you know, I know you check it very often. Dr. Stan has had a tremendous amount of good information coming as this breaking story of the economic crisis in the United States unfolds. There's also a lot of material that I've written, archival material that you can read about past government cover-ups. My main emphasis in the World Affairs Brief is to bring to light things which the establishment news media continually and purposefully omits from the news, which would definitely change people's opinion if they knew the types of things that you and I know about life. So I encourage people to go to the website and look up the news and get a free copy of the World Affairs Brief.
And I go to World Affairs Brief every morning. I go through my emails. I go through World Affairs Brief, and then I get started with my work. You'll find it a wonderful source of information and will save you literally hours surfing the web. Okay, fine. Well, where do we go from here?
Well, I think it's important to talk about some of the trends that are emerging. I'm concerned about a national service that keeps emerging. Barack Obama is very much in favor of national service, and Senator Ted Kennedy has introduced legislation to establish national service by increments, of course. He introduced a new national service bill in Congress to recruit 175,000 Americans of all ages to do service work in health, education, and environmental protection, anti-poverty, all the typical things that are funded through AmeriCorps. It provide an estimated $5 billion over 5 years to encourage citizens from kindergartners to retirees to get involved in community organizations. Now, of course, they include faith-based organizations to hook the conservatives into this, too. And it's been very effective. The faith-based groups have gotten a lot of money from the government through being funded by these. But they're all heading in a major direction. The major direction is not really to continue to fund faith-based service groups, but to get everyone used to taking this money, which will eventually be morphed into a mandatory national service requirement for the youth of the nation. And that's what I think that they're heading for. And AmeriCorps, of course, is the start of that. And, you know, right now they're spending a lot of money to pay people to do service. And that's not my idea of service to the community and volunteerism, to prime the pump with a lot of millions of dollars paying people. And that's what Barack Obama's organization, Public Allies, does. It gets a lot of funding from AmeriCorps and directly from the government, and then pays people. Of course, Public Allies protested what Investor's Business Daily's critical analysis of them about having a radical agenda and trying to build up among sharp young black and other minorities a very liberal agenda. And they protest that, no, we have Republicans on our board, and we get service into the Boy Scouts and the Red Cross and other nonpartisan organizations. While that's true, nevertheless, they are selectively picking young up-and-coming blacks and focusing them into such things as gay and lesbian organizations and service in a liberal environment. And they're essentially using taxpayer money to create leaders within the liberal leftist community. And that's often some of the secret agendas that are held up in these so-called service organizations. But I just wanted to alert people, as I'm doing in tomorrow's or today's World Affairs Brief, that national service is being presented, you know, as a very wonderful motherhood and apple pie organization, but it's heading towards mandatory national service, of which we all ought to protest. And you have to start protesting all of this money being going into community service, because that, in essence, is hooking them all into the government welfare system of providing or of funding all charitable organizations through government funding and getting them to be dependent upon it.
And a government that can provide for all of our people, they must be able to control all of our people. That's what people don't understand. Government has no... If government is going to give us whatever we want, why, they've got to be able to control everything we have. And this is the direction we're heading, towards a totally communal society.
In another story, the Associated Press put this out, and most media outlets snubbed it. But in essence, we have now one of the participants in the Rosenberg spy ring. His name is Morton Sobel. He was tried and convicted with Julius and Ethel Rosenberg on espionage charges, you know, for providing nuclear plans in the Manhattan Project to the Soviet. He was tried in Russia, and he served more than 18 years in Alcatraz and other federal prisons. He traveled to Cuba and Vietnam after his release in 1969 and became an advocate for a lot of progressive causes. All this time, he maintained his innocence. But last Thursday, Sobel, 91 years old, dramatically reversed himself, shedding new light on a case that still fans smoldering political passions. In an interview, for the first time, he admitted that he had been a Soviet spy, and he implicated his fellow defendant, Julius Rosenberg, as also a Soviet spy. So Rosenberg has been defended by the liberal establishment as a person who was a victim of McCarthyism in this era, and now, sure, it all comes out eventually that these people were, in fact, Soviet spies.
But, of course, the interesting thing about that is that apparently there's a question as to whether Mrs. Rosenberg was a spy at all, whether she was really involved in this or simply, a victim of the whole situation.
Yes, and Sobel does claim that she was just an innocent bystander. I don't think it was too innocent, really. I think that she was... I don't think she was a direct Soviet spy myself, in the sense that she wasn't acting as the courier for anything, but she was supportive of her husband's moves to be friendly to the Soviet Union insofar as she knew these things. So I think the truth is somewhere in between on Ethel.
Right, well, of course, they executed her, and I don't I don't think she was a spy. Maybe she was, it was her husband, and she was involved with him. Maybe she knew what she was doing, but to execute that woman, I think, was totally unjust. But it was a long time ago, and who really cares about Ethel Rosenberg and the miscarriage of justice today?
Well, the point, though, the reason I bring it up is the fact that, like Alger Hiss, the media always has defended him as a miscarriage of justice, and they defended the Rosenbergs as victims of witch hunts. And so I think that there is now some legitimacy. At least she was a fellow traveler with him.
Oh, surely. And, of course, they still hate Joe McCarthy for everything he said. We'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen to wrap up this morning's program in these tumultuous times.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Diets simply don't work. 90% of dieters lose a few pounds, but then gain them right back. Every
every time. At Radiant Clinic, we look at the cause of disease rather than merely treating the symptoms. We optimize thyroid and adrenal function, balance brain chemistry and hormones, all of which can cause weight gain. Our medical weight loss program will actually reset your metabolism so the pounds stay off permanently. Call Radiant Clinic at 970-278-0900 and ask for your free guide to permanent weight loss, or visit our website at radiantclinicolorado.com.
Why is the MRS-2000 different from the usual magnetic therapies? Magnetic resonance stimulation has sawtooth pulsating frequencies, increasing cell oxygenation, improving metabolism, relaxing muscles, and eliminating pain while raising cellular energy so the body can heal itself. It's simple, it's effective, and it's for the entire family. Call Sherry Beitzel at Inside Out Therapies, 970-402-7174. That's 970-402-7174. Or go to www.mediconsult.tv.
Well, Dr. Stan, this is the last segment of our program this morning. Joel, you pick up the ball and carry it.
Well, another story keeps trying to emerge relative to Cindy McCain's drug addiction, and there's a lot of suppression, has been for years, from McCain, both as a senator and now as a candidate for president. Raw story revealed that now McCain confidant has said that Cindy McCain has confirmed that Cindy McCain has had a long addiction to prescription painkillers. He says, aside from the lengthy contemporary investigation from Phoenix Alternative Weekly and occasional mentions since then, the addiction backstory, including ample questions about what John McCain knew, when he knew it, and questions of whether he was complicit in the cover-up, has largely gone untold in the press. Until now, that is, Tom Gozinski, a former employee of the medical aid charity that Cindy McCain used as personal supplier of Percocet and Vicodin. Am I pronouncing those drugs correctly?
Well, Percocet, and what was the other one?
Vicodin or Visod, Vicodin? Or
yeah, not, something, yeah.
Anyway, those are apparently prescription painkillers, and on Wednesday, Gozinski sat down with Raw Story and other media outlets to tell his story and distribute copies of his personal journal from this time with the American Voluntary Medical Team in the last half of 1992, where he voiced ever more acute concerns and frustrations over McCain's drug use and its impact on her mood and job performance. Says he can't buy the official camp line, McCain camp line, that Cindy's drug use was kept from her husband. He saw and heard too much of any stories, of their stories to make sense, like the time Cindy was allegedly taken to the hospital after an overdose. John McCain rushed in to berate the doctors and nurses there before moving Cindy to their secluded Sedona ranch, getting her out of the hospital as soon as he could. Then there were the Hensley family interventions and the fact that Cindy's drug abuse came to be something of an open secret among employees of the charity. So, you know, there's a lot of skeletons in McCain's closet that the media is very carefully keeping. And they're protecting Barack Obama from his Marxist affiliations and skeletons in his closet as well. So these are equally being protected. We get Tweedledee and Tweedledum, and never will truly get any change through this. Another story coming up, Dr. Stan, is the rumors about North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-il, apparently suffering a debilitating stroke or cerebral hemorrhage about 4 weeks ago. Hasn't been seen in public since. Public people are worried about secession in North Korea. I'm not sure this is legitimate. You know, oftentimes people say, gee, it could be worse. You know, we could have an unknown. We could have military come in and take his place. And it's almost like an excuse to root for his return. One Korea watcher noted that, quote, all of Kim's three sons at one time or another have been mentioned as possibilities to succeed him, but none of them has ever had anything remotely like the long apprenticeship that Kim himself had, serving in government, the party, and finally the armed forces before his father's death. 27-year-old Kim Jong-chol, the second son, was recently put in charge of the Department of Propaganda in Korea, and it's actually called the Department of Propaganda and Agitation of the Workers' Party, a responsible post nowhere near the level, of course, of what his father did in this. The first son, Kim Jong-nam, is 37 years old, may have disqualified himself after he was stopped at Japan's Narita Airport several years ago carrying a Dominican passport and explaining he wanted to take his family to Tokyo Disneyland. Not exactly the preferred vacation spot for the future radical North, for a future radical North Korean leader. After living for a spell in the gambling enclave of Macau, however, Jong Nam recently has returned to Pyongyang, suggesting his father may have plans for him. The third son, Kim Jong-un, who's 24, was assumed to be too young, but his physical resemblance to his father is seen as giving him an outside chance. As there are rumors, of course, that Jong Chol, the second son, is rumored to appear to be effeminate, possible euphemism for homosexuality. So the fear is now that the generals whom Kim has assiduously coddled, rewarded, and intimidated, and bullied and punished would be eager to replace the dear leader under any excuse whatsoever, and we could have a military dictatorship return to North Korea. So that's the news from Lake Wobegon, at least the North Korean version, and it's kind of like a soap opera. If it weren't so dangerous in terms of what this government is capable of doing.
Well, of course, you know, the thing is that the question arises, do they really have nuclear weapons? Have we just been conned on this whole thing? The one thing I think is really certain, and that is that under the guise of opposing the North Korean government, we've kept those people in power under one guise or another, sending them oil, sending them food, building power plants for them. And the American people are so gullible, they can't understand how, in the name of humanitarian aid, we keep ruthless and tyrannical governments in power all throughout the world.
And, of course, I believe, and I think you do too, that the reason our government protects these tyrants is they're useful in creating conflict, in managing world conflicts. You know, and they need perceived enemies that are manageable, and certainly they have protected at least the hidden relationships between Russia and North Korea and China and North Korea. But there's no doubt in my mind that the U.S. could have squashed North Korea and kept it under blockade and fomented social unrest within, or not social unrest, but unrest against the tyrannical government. I mean, this is a pariah regime. If there's any regime that justified intervention, it was against this regime. But we've coddled this country ever since the Korean War when we had them on the run, and we stop the war right at the 37th parallel, the 38th parallel.
Well, I think,
and of course, protected them from, crossing into the border, and protected the Chinese troops who were involved in that war. This was a managed war, just like World War II.
Well, I think the one thing people have to understand is the real objective is a world government. We want people in positions of power in every country that will go along with our agenda: the New World Order, the New World Religion, the coming world leader, and. So this explains why we have our troops all throughout the world keeping dictators in power, or, as we are in North Korea, allowing this ruthless tyranny to exist. Hey, we're out of time, Joel. I look forward to talking to you next week, and God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome to join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and we certainly live in exciting and dangerous and frightening times. Because we're seeing, I believe, the beginning of the dissolution of the financial system that has given us this tremendous prosperity. But then when you can print paper money, when you create it out of nothing, well, everybody has more money all the time. The trouble is prices keep going up. The little home I was born in, and raised in Oakland, cost my parents $3,000, probably worth $150,000 now, or maybe it's just the value of the money has actually declined that much, and that's really what's going on. I'll never forget the home that I first home I ever bought, for $42,000, last sold for about $2 million. The house didn't go up in value, just the value of currency declined. Well, we're seeing the whole system come cascading down. If you haven't heard my talk on the financial tsunami, it was given a couple of years ago, but it foretold exactly what's going on today. And, of course, the devastating effect of derivatives, which is why they had to buy out AIG, else AIG, with trillions of dollars of derivatives, could have led the collapse of the whole monetary system. But there are too many balls to juggle. I think they're going to get into real trouble. Anyway, our talk on the financial tsunami, along with the syllabus, is very important. Certainly the little pamphlets we carry, the history of money and financial meltdown, will give you insight into what's going on today. And if you get that along with Ed Griffin's wonderful book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, temporarily out of print, but we'll have copies just very, very soon of the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, and the book, Fiat Money Inflation in France. If you get all of that material, you'll know more than most economists. And ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to know this because most people, I believe, are going to get wiped out before this tragedy is finished unfolding. So remember our number. It's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Remember, we're on October 26th, just about 5 weeks from now, 6 weeks from now, we're going to be having our all-day session here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay. We're bringing in Patrick Wood to talk about finance. And of course, we're going to have Russell Blaylock there. He'll be talking about medical issues, and Joanna Michelson will be talking about the spiritual issues because she was a medium and in contact with the other dimension. Going to be a great time, and hope you can come. We're serving lunch. You have to have a reservation. That's the Radio Liberty Annual Seminar, October 26th. And so give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you can make it, and try to get as many people to come. Of course, we will be doing videos on it, and we have videos on many of the past programs we have. We have certainly Chris Pinto and the Atlantis Connection. Chris, of course, made the films The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, the Hidden Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. It's called Riddles in Stone. And there's a new one coming out, incidentally, The Eye of the Phoenix. The Eye of the Phoenix. You can see the trailer won't be out for a couple of months, but I looked at the trailer, and I'll tell you, I was excited about it. You can get it by Googling in the David Bay Eye of the Phoenix. It's just 2 minutes. Taking you into this latest of the trilogy of films. But Chris Pinto did a film for us called The Atlantis Connection, and you can get that from Radio Liberty. The Atlantis Connection.